The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose blessed Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan, come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations. And as you know the weaknesses of each of us, let each one find you mighty to save. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." The word of the Lord.
Thank you. A reading from the first letter of Peter. Christ suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Isn't it amazing to have this wonderful choir, H. Alvin Green, here with us? They're going to sing some more later, for those of you who came in a little later. They sang before the service, but they'll sing some more. We're so glad you're here. Maria was in ninth grade. She lived in Queens, New York. She was used to seeing a lot of buildings, a lot of concrete, and some graffiti. That was her world. She lived alone with her mom. Her mom tried to be a good mom, but she was very fragile. She tended to drink too much, and she believed that she needed a man to be whole. So Maria's mom brought home one man after another. Some of them would yell or hit her. And sometimes she didn't come home at all. On those mornings, Maria would wake up and go quietly over to her mom's room and look. And when she saw that the bed was empty, she didn't really feel that much. She just went and tried to get something to eat and to get dressed to walk to school. But this particular morning, when Maria saw that empty bed, she decided to do something. She decided to go to her mom's closet and get her mom's favorite red high heels. And Maria decided that she was going to wear them today to school with her jeans and her tight shirt. She liked the way that the boys whistled at her sometimes. So she walked in those high heels to school. But during the day, she began to worry about what it might be like to go home in those red high heels, how dirty they looked now, and how angry her mom would be. So she decided she would walk to her grandparents' house, which wasn't very far away, a little townhouse. Her grandpa was sitting at the kitchen table. "Hi there, honey," he said. "How you doing? Are you okay?" Maria just shrugged. She did that a lot lately. She seemed to be talking less and less. And she seemed to care about less and less. In fact, she almost had failed eighth grade, just slid by into ninth. Maria went to the refrigerator to get something to eat. Her grandpa said, "Hey, honey, I have a great idea. I found out about this camp for inner city kids, and they take you 3 hours north into the woods in upstate New York, and you get to spend a whole week outside." Maria slammed the door of the refrigerator shut and turned around and said, "No way. There is no way that I am going to go 3 hours up north into nowhere. I'm not going." Her grandpa stood up. He was a big man. He looked at her. "Oh, yes, you are going," he said. Maria knew that when her grandpa looked at her like that, that was it. She had no choice. So a couple of months later, she found herself in a big yellow school bus full of teenagers that she did not know, driving up into nowhere. The first thing that she noticed when she got off that bus was the silence. She had never heard anything like it. There were no cars rushing by. There were no sounds from the television. There was no music playing or people talking. It was just nothing. Sometimes there'd be some wind or a bird. And when the sun would go down at night, the stars were so bright, she never knew that they could look so bright. And the trees were huge. But Maria was miserable. She did not wear any of the right clothes. The other kids, they were nice, but she had never felt more alone in her whole life. She tried to go fishing one day, but when she caught a fish, it felt so slimy and weird that she dropped it. Every day after lunch, the counselors told the campers that they had some free time. They were supposed to write in their journal or go for a walk. On the third day, Maria went for a walk in the woods and ended up sitting down under a tree. What happened to her next, she could not explain. But she began to cry. She started to cry and cry and cry harder and harder until she could hardly breathe and her chest hurt. And she didn't know why she was crying so hard, but she could not stop. And she just sat there in the dirt by herself, weeping. This went on for hours. She skipped the afternoon program and kept on crying and crying. She hurt so much. And she was so angry. By the evening time, though, she got up and went to eat something, and then she sat around the campfire. The kids would talk about their lives. And for the first time, she told the truth about herself. She told about how she lived alone with her mom and how it was scary when her mom didn't come home sometimes. In the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is baptized. His baptism marks him and begins his ministry. In Mark, there is no story of Jesus' birth. It's only the baptism that begins. It's like a catalyst from which everything else comes out. And God marks Jesus and says, "This is my son. I am well pleased with him." But then, right after the baptism, the strangest thing happens. It says in the gospel that the Spirit drives Jesus out into the wilderness. Literally, the word is to throw him out. It's as if God didn't stop to ask Jesus if it was okay or if he felt like going. God simply pushed him right out into the wilderness. And you know what the ancient word for wilderness, what it means? It means the wasteland, the place of loneliness, the wasteland, the place of loneliness. What a strange place to send Jesus after his baptism. I mean, wouldn't it be more normal to have a reception or something? Some kind of a party, a celebration? He was just baptized. Give the guy a break. But instead, the Spirit shoves him right out into the place of loneliness, where he's hungry and uncomfortable and in pain and alone. Why? Why does God do this? Because God, I believe, understands pain in a way that you and I do not. Because God knew that it was out there, alone and lost and hungry and cold, that it was there that Jesus would grow closest to his Father. And it was there that Jesus would begin to know who he really was. And it was there that Jesus would be tempted. Oh yes, in the scripture it says that Satan came, the evil one. Not a man in a red, with red ears and a red tail, but everything that drives you from God. Every thought that you have that drives you from who you are is not of God, is a temptation. And you all have them. Jesus had three. We have more like 500, right? What do they sound like? They sound like, "I'm a jerk, I'm a loser," right? They sound like, "Man, I'm fat," or "I feel terrible." They sound like, "I'm not doing a good job as a mother." They sound like, "Maybe I'm not worth being here." All of this came to Jesus. And in that period of struggle and aloneness and discomfort and pain, he became everything that God called him to be. Today marks the first Sunday of the season of Lent. Lent is a very, very ancient church season which began around the 300s. The church saw this passage from Scripture in which Jesus went out into the wilderness and they said, "Well, we need to have a wilderness so we can grow closer to God." So we mark a period of 40 days in which you're encouraged to do something that is uncomfortable for you. To give up something that you rely on to make yourself feel better. Maybe it's that extra bowl of ice cream after dinner. Whatever it is that you use to make yourself comfortable, what would happen if you took it away? The purpose of Lent is that you and I as Christians We understand that pain is not always a bad thing. In our culture, we're taught that we need to get away from pain. Whatever we can do to make ourselves feel better is what we should do. Numb yourself, take pills, whatever you need to do to stop feeling pain. Run away from it. But that's not what Jesus did. As soon as he was baptized, he ran to it. He listened to every dark thought he had. He listened to himself being hungry and tired and cold. And through all that, he found God. What would have happened to Maria if she hadn't gone out onto her wilderness experience? She would have kept on running away from how angry and hurt she was. And she would have run so far that she would have hurt herself. But instead, her grandpa, who was so wise, gave her that experience so that she could feel her pain. And in feeling it, she could begin to become her own person. She went home from that camp and she told her mother, "I cannot live with you anymore. I do not like it when you don't come home. It scares me." She moved in with her grandparents. And every summer she went back to that camp. And every summer she cried and she felt bad. The anger and the sadness, they didn't go away. But she began to understand them. And they formed her and shaped her. And she's in college now. Jesus did not run away from his pain. He ran to it and through it. He ran to the cross, and he went through every bit of human pain that is possible to show us not to be afraid. Even when it hurts, you don't have to be afraid. Pain is not always a bad thing. It can be something that forces you to learn. It can be a great teacher. So I challenge you to be a bit uncomfortable this Lent, to sit in that lonely, uncomfortable middle place where you're not quite sure what you're doing and wait a little while. And see if he joins you there. Amen. Let us stand and say together the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the cathedral. We're so glad that you're here today. If you're new or visiting, I encourage you to fill out a little card that's in your pew, and we'll send you our e-newsletter. We also have some welcome bags in the church and people who can give you a tour if you'd like to see more of this beautiful place. We're blessed to have H. Alvin Green Choir with us here today. They are so awesome, and I can't wait for those of you who haven't heard them yet to hear them. Thank you for being here. You're a great blessing. The Holy Spirit speaks through that music. Whew. As I said, today is the first Sunday of Lent, and we have many new classes that are being offered here at the cathedral. Christian formation programs for adults and children. You can find more information about that in your bulletin in the back or on our website. One Sunday a year, we also give thanks for this miraculous ministry that grew up at this cathedral. Back in the mid-1990s, the dean's wife, Gail Weltzek, decided she wanted to teach some public school children how to dance because they didn't have dancing in their school. Well, she brought them here after church and taught them to dance, and the program grew and grew and grew. And today, the Cathedral Arts Project teaches over 1,000 children art, music, and dance in public schools all over the city. The artwork of many of these students is on display in our reception hall, and I hope that after this service, you will go over there and take a look at it. You will not believe how wonderful it is. And this afternoon, we have a reception for those young artists, and we give each of them an award, which I love. It's just awesome. Today at 5 o'clock, our own wonderful choir is going to provide us with a Lenten evensong in which they sing some of the piercing and beautiful music of Lent. So that's at 5 o'clock this afternoon. And lastly, the Bloodmobile is parked outside the church. So those of you who are physically able, I encourage you to give up some blood for Lent, okay? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We were bound in sin, but in your compassion you redeemed us, reconciling us to yourself with the precious blood of Christ. Therefore, with people of every nation, tribe, and language, with the whole church on earth and in heaven, joyfully we give you thanks and sing. All glory and honor to you, God of grace. For you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, once for all on the cross, to be the one perfect sacrifice for the sin of the world, that all who believe in him might have eternal life. The night before he died, he took bread. And when he had given you thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." After supper, he took the cup, and when he had given you thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it to remember me." Therefore, Heavenly Father, in this sacrament of the suffering and death of your Son, we now celebrate the wonder of your grace and proclaim the mystery of our faith. Redeemer God, rich in mercy, infinite in goodness, we were far off until you brought us near, and our hands are empty until you fill them. As we eat this bread and drink this wine, through the power of your Holy Spirit, feed us with your heavenly food, renew us in your service, unite us in Christ, and bring us to your everlasting kingdom. From you, through you, and for you are all things. To you be the glory forever. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and is raised for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Oh.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ be with you to defend you, within you to keep you, before you to lead you, beside you to guard you, and above you to bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.